Did you know that the original Final Fantasy creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi, made a spiritual successor to that legendary series called Fantasian for Apple Arcade, and every level in the game is a handmade, physical miniature model? Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a 1 month free trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled. Welcome to Pixel Sift, Western Australia's weekly video game show. Each week, we bring you the latest news in the gaming world and discuss the issues that matter to you. Right here from our phenomenal studio in the House of Quig. As always, I'm joined by friends and colleagues, Mitch and Scott, and we've also got James sitting over there, pushing the buttons, pushing the ones and the twos. Making the video work.
Hello.
And James will just say hello in spirit. Today in episode 12, we'll be talking about interesting ways that developers and the community can improve on games. Of course, this week Bungie and Activision introduced the Sparrow Racing League into Destiny, which is one example of a developer incorporating fan-created content or fan-desired content into their game.
Yeah, we'll also bring you our highlights from PSX 2015, including Final Fantasy, Ratchet & Clank, and our personal favorite, 100-foot-tall robot golf. Yeah.
Love it.
We'll get into that a bit later. And our third topic today, just a bit of a heads up, may not be appropriate for our younger audiences. So just a heads up if you're listening in the car or with your kids.
We're talking about drugs in gaming, based off some news that came out this week. If you have not ready to have that conversation with your kids yet, maybe have a listen to the first two sections of this show.
Because the third one will be about drugs
in gaming. Or we could have the conversation with the kids right now.
Anyway, the drugs in gaming topic has come to the gaming community's attention this week with Jason Love of Man vs. Game. He admitted on Twitch that he's been abusing amphetamines whilst on stream. But we'll also touch on some esports and the drug testing process that they are now implementing as well.
All that and more coming up on Pixel Sift.
Pixel Sift!
It's not Pixel Sieve, it's Pixel Sift.
Pixel Sift!
So you may have seen the news this weekend. We had the PSX, which is the PlayStation Experience Convention, where Sony goes and sort of outlines its updates and games for the upcoming year and all the new stuff. There's been a lot of big announcements that have come out of there, mm-hmm. A lot of big news, some stuff that we've sort of heard about before and now we've got a bit more information on.
Yep.
What were some of the cool things that we saw coming out of PSX, Mitch?
Sparrow Racing.
Which we are going to talk about a little bit later on.
Which we're going to talk about
in our second
later.
Segment. Which
but
is,
mainly for me, in other than that, was probably the Ratchet & Clank stuff. Really awesome. I like how there's going to be a movie tied to it.
And it is, I think, with the Ratchet & Clank, the game itself is it's a remake of the original one that came out on the PlayStation 2.
Yes.
Sort of a reimagining.
I don't think there was one on the PS3, or there might have been one.
There were a few on the PS3 a bit later on, but the first one was on PlayStation 2, so it's a remake and put onto PlayStation 4. But they've also taken elements of the movie adaptation, which is coming out a couple of weeks later,
right
after the actual event, and they're actually incorporating some of those elements into the game.
What was good to see is that it looked like Ratchet & Clank. There wasn't anything really that new about it, I guess. It was very comforting to see that the gameplay was there, the goofy guns were there, the humor was there. It's
everything what you'd imagine the kind of franchise to be up until now.
It was quite good.
And when you're having it, I guess, for something like Ratchet & Clank, which just came out on the PlayStation 2 era, it's not such a huge jump to see an up-res version and a remade version.
No, I don't think so.
Because it had such a cartoony, stylized sort of look to it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't so jarring.
No, I don't think so.
Between the two. It's not like one of the other big remakes that we had a lot of news about this weekend as well, which is the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yeah.
Which there was the first gameplay trailer from that, and you can see some of the video of the game as they've kind of come out. They've taken a completely sort of different tact than the original thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the purists might not be super happy about the way they've done it. It's not so much of the game mechanic itself has been just translated to a newer graphical engine. They've actually remade the game itself, so it looks and plays a lot more like, to me, it looked a lot like the PlayStation Portable version game they called Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core.
I see.
Which had a real-time battle system, but also had a like a turn-based battle system as well. A bit more like a Kingdom Hearts as well.
Do you think they're going to be like, you know, with the original Halo, when they remade that the first time, they had a button you could push to put it back to old graphics and then back to new graphics?
I don't think so. No. I think this is a completely rebuild of the whole thing.
This is a new game. And I mean, yeah, like you said, you might not completely win over some of the 100% purists because they are going to change the game slightly. Mm-hmm. But I feel like just the chance to re-immerse yourself in that world for the purists is going to be enough. The most interesting thing about this to come out of the PSX for Final Fantasy VII is that it's going to be across multiple releases. So you're not going to get the full game with the first disc or the first release.
Right.
That was a multiple disc release back then anyway because of, you know, size constrictions or whatever.
So it
might be a similar thing, you know, except with actual releases rather than discs.
When you say multiple releases, so do you have... You had to buy them individually, or did
they? No, you bought a big 3-disc pack when you bought the game originally, when it came out on 3 CDs.
Just because it was original PS, you know, you didn't have a lot of space back then.
Well, don't you think that with the technology that we've got, we should just put it all in one go?
Square Enix has been a little bit coy about this. They haven't really come out and said exactly what it is. They said it's going to be sort of an incremental or almost... They've hinted that it might be episodic in a way that it comes out. And I guess the natural episodes break down for each of the discs. But
They haven't said any more than that. There will be multiple releases. So, and I think everyone's just kind of left guessing for a bit.
They're going to expand as well from what they've actually had originally. They're going to move into some extra content and things like that and tie it in a bit more with some of the other games that have come out. To me, when looking at the trailer, it looks very much like the movie sequel that they made, which was Final Fantasy VII Advent Children. And it looks like you're basically playing the movie. The graphics of it are pretty similar. Stylistically, it's very similar. It looks very, very cool. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see. I think people will be... maybe upset.
People are going to be really hard judging this one.
I know a lot of people that are anticipating it, but it will be held to a high standard.
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't have said it better. Yeah. One other thing. Are we done with Final Fantasy? Sorry.
I think we're kind of done. There's a lot of sequels and remakes coming out of PSX this weekend.
There was many.
Uncharted 4 is another sequel that they've showed a bit of gameplay, or I guess sort of FMB sort of story mode of the game. The other thing was... Ratchet and Clank is getting remade. There's a new version of Rez that's coming out.
Rez Infinite. I'd like to just jump in with that as well. There's a virtual reality like vibrating suit that goes with that. That seemed very, very interesting. So like different parts of your body vibrate with different parts of the music. You know, you have the bass in your knees and the rhythm in your chest or whatever. You don't need it to play with it, but it does increase the experience.
Interesting little tidbit. Years ago, Tetsuya Mizuguchi, who's the lead designer of Rez, he also helped design Sega Rally, if you played those out in the
arcade.
Love
Sega Rally.
So he did that. I interviewed him years and years ago. He came to Perth.
Uh-huh.
He's a funky dude, that guy. He is like really funny. And he's like, we're like, just think about what's probably the best game, your favorite game? And he goes, you know, I think my favorite game is still Pong. And I'm like, nothing yet has got that sort of feeling in my heart. Right. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's nice. Yeah, he's a cool dude. Rez will be, it was an interesting sort of rhythmy sort of game that kind of came out sort of pre-rhythm games.
Yep.
So it's kind of introducing it to another generation.
It's kind of like DDR pad, for your entire body.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like those, infinite side-scrolly sort of shootery games as well.
So when this
I
is,
love Rez.
It's
I must
front,
say, I really
front
love
on.
It. I played it with the Kinetic.
Yep.
And that was very cool.
Yeah, loved it.
So when this is a thing... and the phase is over, am I going to have this suit next to my plastic guitar and my drum kit?
And next to your, the game? The Nintendo...
The Power Glove?
Power Glove,
Am I going to have all of these things just...
Another plastic peripheral?
I don't
peripheral?
See much application for this outside of it. It really is just kind of like for full res immersion.
I think he's an interesting guy.
This is just off the top of my head because I don't have it written down anywhere, but they are going to like do some kind of possible commercial availability for the suit. At the moment, it's just kind of a promo thing for them.
Okay.
I'm fairly sure.
There we go.
There we go. There's the scoop.
Yeah, so that was it coming out of PSX on the weekend. There's plenty of stuff that you can go and check out online. We're going to stick some links up on our website, which we have now updated. It's now gone to a brand new website. Mm. We are on PixelSift. That's PIXELSIFT.com.au. It's a brand new website. You can check it out. It's very
spell like that.
Huh?
Wish I could spell like that.
Efficiently.
Yeah. Can't do it. I've written it many, many times now.
Nice.
You can get on there and check out all of our episodes. We're going to have links up there for each of our episodes and links to videos and stuff. I guess the number one game that I don't think we can avoid talking about here, I think we have to definitely say it, is probably the most exciting original game that, well, kind of original game that I've seen, but probably pretty original, is the 100-foot robot golf.
100-foot robot golf. It is so it cool. is just the greatest thing I've ever seen.
It's basically, imagine
it's Neon
Genesis Evangelion, and the trailer itself is very Neon Genesis Evangelion-ish.
Yeah, they're just like,
but instead of fighting crazy, freaky monsters, they are playing golf through a city.
The best part about it is the trailer goes to show the robots playing golf, and then it just moves on to the robots just beating on each other with golf clubs, sticks. Yeah.
Giant 70-foot golf clubs.
Yeah.
There you go.
Love it.
Phenomenal.
Looks exciting. I reckon it'd be great fun to play in a party environment, so that'd be really cool. We'll put a trailer up to that on our page as well. So, and if you're watching on Twitch, you can probably watch a bit of it right now.
Enjoy.
Watching a little bit right there. Okay, let's go into our next segment. Let's have a listen to some of this.
You're listening to PixelSift. Or you might be watching PixelSift on Twitch. PixelSift.
That's right. You are listening to PixelSift. You might be watching PixelSift. We're on Twitch. We're on iTunes. We're on Pocket Casts. We're on all good places where you can get packaged audio content.
Were you guys trying to do like an ASMR video with that?
Why? Are you getting a bit of a feel from that?
A little bit.
I don't react to that. People who don't know what ASMR is, that sort of thing when people like whisper in YouTube videos and it gives them...
Let's not do one.
Okay.
We'll do one later.
We'll set Twitch off. Really close. Set Mitch off. Sorry, not Twitch off.
Hey.
One of the big things that came out of this week as part of the second year of a couple of the PixelSift teams, one of the favorite games. What's the name of the game, Mitch?
I forgot the name of the game.
The listeners probably know.
Destiny. Yay.
Destiny Year 2, part of the Taken King, they have just announced that right now you can go out and play it.
Yep.
And if you're watching on Twitch, you can probably see some sweet Sparrow Racing action.
Sparrow Racing.
So collected by... helpful producer James. He was just playing games, and now he can justify it. So, but yeah, it's pretty cool. It's originally was a concept that was sort of invented by players in game, and they just said.
So it was pretty much an idea that everyone had immediately when you got this piece of equipment known as a Sparrow. It's kind of like your speeder from Endor
in the Star Wars
universe.
Yeah,
and we just thought, wouldn't it be great to race them around the overworld? And so we started doing that just for fun. And the developers at Bungie have embraced it and given us actual game mode where it's a legit thing and you can get stuff for it and you get rewards and bragging rights.
So it's only a time limited thing. So if you don't get in sort of now.
So it's 3 weeks from yesterday, I believe.
Mm.
3 weeks from now, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so it's time gated, just like a lot of things in Destiny.
It seems a little bit. It seems a bit early or a bit short, in my opinion.
Well, considering that the other events only went for about 2 weeks at the most, it's quite long.
And I mean, look, as a racing game, it didn't look very deep kind of thing. I think 2 or 3 weeks and people would start to get a little bit over it. It's just a small kind of boost.
Yeah.
Things like you said, it wasn't... somebody said before, we expected it to be a little bit more like Mario Kart-y, like an action, lot of options, kind of power-ups, et cetera, et cetera.
I would compare it more to MotorStorm. Yep. Pacific Rift
and like I said as well, the Star Wars Pod Racer.
Yeah, Star Wars Pod. It reminded me a lot of Star Wars Pod Racer. Yeah,
I think because the reason why I say it's only going to be a really short event is because in a couple of weeks' time we've got Christmas coming up, and there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be out there wanting to fire up Destiny on their new consoles that they have got.
Yep.
And I don't know if there's any level restriction on doing the Sparrow Racing at all.
I don't think there is. You just need to require the Taken King.
Yeah. So if you buy Destiny now, you get everything in the package, I think, isn't it? You just get one disc and you can buy the whole thing. But yeah, there'll be people waiting
out
there.
But if there's one thing I've learned about Destiny, it's Guardians are always looking for something else to do.
Yeah.
So It's just
the
thing.
It's the MMO, the MMO trap, isn't it? You kind of blast through all your content really quickly, and some of them are time-gated as well, so obviously you can run certain
But I think the time-gated stuff is a really good idea. Like, Destiny has time-gated things that are weekly, almost. Like, it's on that level, so you're encouraged to just drop in. Like, there's certain vendors that are only available on Friday and things like that. So it's just encouraging people just to drop in and say hi. And while you're at it, maybe hang out with your friends and play the game.
It's just all about, you know, being a part of enhancing that community feel.
Exactly. Yeah. It just makes the world catch feel...
catch-up times.
Yeah, like the Olympics rolls around every 4 years. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this is on the same level as that, but it just seems... It gives off the illusion that the world is moving.
Yep.
And, like, things are happening in this world, and it's progressing along.
I think the coolest thing about this particular... piece of content that's come out is that it was originally done by fans.
Yes.
And it was something that, as you said, when you jumped in there, you were like, okay, this is something that we want to do when we're in the game, and now it's actually become a game mode.
Yep.
There's been plenty of other games that have kind of done the same thing.
Yeah.
We were talking a bit earlier in the week about some of the Halo game modes, like Griffball, which came off the Red versus Blue guys.
They invented
this version of the game, which became part of it, and they've got a close tie with the people at Bungie when they were making the games themselves.
Yeah, so now it's actually a game mode in Halo. Now.
Yep, it is.
Zombies.
Yeah. Call of Duty Zombies as well.
Of Duty Zombies was slightly different because it was a side project by the developers themselves. It had no community input.
Yep.
But, yeah.
They kind of take the game mode and put it into a different way.
And ran with it.
Left 4 Dead as well originally started out as a game mode that someone had developed. Basically, they had a bunch of like hordes of enemies with knives, and they raced at you. Basically, they were just like... And then they just changed the models over so that they had a melee attack instead of a knife, and it kind of became its own thing and went from there. And there's lots of games like that where people go and take the content.
Yeah, I think Dota was one of them.
Yeah, Dota and the MOBA genre
were
originally a custom map for World of Warcraft, Warcraft 3.
Yep.
Pre-World of Warcraft days.
And just the whole modding scene in general. Like, for example, DayZ... Stuff like that.
Yep. Grew from the Arma 2.
Massive. Well,
it
used to be.
And then became its own
standalone. I'm not sure what the status of DayZ is now. Please tell me.
Yeah, no.
I think it's still going. The guy who originally made it.
Yeah, Rocket, right?
Yeah. He has left now. He's not part of that thing anymore. But the team itself is still, like, who made...
The interesting part is he was from New Zealand.
He was, yeah.
They were just in the news this week. I can't remember what for. But, yeah, they're still relevant.
Yeah. Okay. Armor is one of these games that's very for people who love the super simulator style games.
Yeah, it was
super
very
accurate. It's basically an accurate military shooter.
Yeah, the engine was very powerful.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of DayZ footage online, and I thought it was a pretty good looking game. I never actually played it, but I always wanted to.
But there's plenty of other stuff that people can go and take these games and sort of adjust them to ways to do. Yeah, we've talked about this in a few previous weeks where people kind of make their own games inside of games.
Yeah.
We had the Warthog, Destruction Derby thing from the original Halo that I used to play with my brother and his friends. We've had other games where people go and, take...
Yeah, even the Machinima.
Exactly.
Level. You can just make movies within the game engine. That's not new.
I think, it's all about, lengthening the life of these games.
Absolutely.
That we, really fall in love with kind of thing. And also kind of, enhance the experience. Because, like you said, some of them tend to be kind of limited or at least time limited in certain ways. So, they not only kind of widen the experience that you're enabling from the game, but they're kind of also widening the audience or the potential audience and the potential appeal of the game because, you can do more things. That's why GTA is so kind of huge because it doesn't have the same limits and you can kind of do all the things.
I think all game companies now are struggling to get their games relevant for as long as possible because there's so much new content. They just need people in their systems.
Yeah,
and it's just the easiest way to do that is to have them create their own little systems within their system that they relate to.
And if you keep your game open-ended enough in that there is many ways that people can kind of play this game, this is how those sandbox games, your Skyrims, your Fallouts, your GTAs and things like that, people tell their own stories within the game itself and can create different modes. And it's kind of cool when that is... recognized by the people who make the games and go on and create this this sort of, I guess, a mode that would be there.
Yeah, they really
I have a feeling with the Sparrow mode, it's going to be Sparrow Racing League. It's definitely going to be back.
I think so. It's really fun.
Yeah. And it seems like there was, if they've already, because the way it's put together is really like cleverly done. It really looks like it's an actual racing
game. Like, they put a lot of effort into, like, just in the tower when you drop in, there's like visual merch, like visual stuff everywhere. Like, you know, it's Sparrow Racing League. There are like prints on the ground. It's like a real like racing event, and there's like posters of all the sponsors. Well, like the sponsors.
It's very reminiscent of the Wipeout games as well. Did you guys ever play that? It looks like the aesthetic of it is very that sort of like futuristic hover sort of game. Instead being like a crazy hover car thing, you're on a bike and you see the people. But that's the vibe that I get a lot, which is great because I love the Wipeout games. I think they're super fun. So especially with that racing stuff as well. So let's get into our next topic.
Let's do it.
You're listening to Pixel Sift, or you might be watching Pixel Sift on Twitch. Pixel Sift.
Yep, you're on Pixel Sift, pressing the same buttons again instead of the different one. We are going to just about to talk about our next topic, which is talking about drug use and gaming.
All right, so this is interesting.
And if you're listening with little kids, you might want to tell them, or you might want to pause it now and come back a little bit later.
Small little, like, mature audience warning.
Yep. With that said, let's get into it. We have just basically had an announcement from one of the larger gaming Twitch streamers online throughout this week. He was kind of called out on it. His name is Jason Love, and he goes by the name Man vs. Game. People kind of outed him on Twitter and online, and basically said to him that he was
a drug addict.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, and you've got a little bit more on this, haven't you, Scott?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, it's all started off him getting outed on Twitter, and I haven't actually been able to find the actual definitive kind of tweet that did it, but I think it might have been deleted. But I saw the follow on. I've got a little caption. Do you want to play? I've got a little caption of 50 seconds or so from the whole hours or so worth of him chatting about his problems. But let's just jump into it.
Let's have a listen.
This is a moment that I guess I didn't want to have ever. I'm just an extremely private guy. Every single time you've seen me, I've been saturated with speed, amphetamines, Adderall, Dexy, anything I could get my hands on. I've been suffering from a lot of depression. I have to comment on it now. Still don't feel that what needed to be done. My cast became just like the perfect storm of like all of my addictions. Subscribers just sort of got banned at the very end of my last cast. I dare say that outburst was caused by having drank too much. And this is the thing. Here's the thing. It's like, it's not like it's been a big secret. I've been pretty open. Human beings don't just cast for 50 hours. They just don't. The human body just doesn't do it.
Yeah, the human body just doesn't do it.
It's amazing, really, when you think about it. The guy would be playing for 50 hours in a row. And obviously, people watching the stream couldn't have watched it for the full 50 hours, unless maybe they were, you know, taking dexamphetamines as well.
Yeah, of course.
In order to keep up with the stream. But it's a huge amount of time. It's just... And what is the expectation that we have for these people who are providing these videos for us, that the fans are asking for this stuff that they want him to be doing this marathon?
Well, the only long period streaming that I've had experience with is the Rooster Teeth Extra Life stream. But that's a group of about 50 people doing that.
And they all sort of switch in and move around, and it's not just one person.
It's not one person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so okay. I actually don't understand the appeal of watching... Because I've actually never heard of this guy before this topic arose. But I don't understand really the appeal of watching this guy torture himself pretty much for 50 hours.
Yeah, well, it's not torture, you know, because he's on drugs. It's very easy when he's doing it on drugs. I mean, he goes through it like, you know, he was depressed and it was a coping mechanism and whatever. And like, you know, his addictions being video game and the internet and chatting and dexies and alcohol kind of thing. He was allowed to kind of thrive in this environment for like 12 months. And you see a picture of him and like, I don't really know what he looked like before, but he looks gaunt and skeletal now. Like, he just looks like a bit of a junkie, to be honest.
It takes a toll. It definitely does take a toll.
And not just that. And like I did read it in some of the tweets that were discussing him and whatever. They were saying, it's not so much just the drugs as well. It's these impromptu kind of gaming sessions, you know, 30, 40, 50 hours out of nowhere. I mean, he goes on to say one of the times he did an impromptu long cast for when Arkham Knight first came out, and he wanted to know, like, the ending, the 100% ending on his own and no spoilers. So he played it for 83 hours straight.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. And it's just, and that's, I mean, I don't want to condone this kind of behavior, especially at a professional level where you're getting like paid and, you know, sponsored to do sorts of these sorts of things. Yeah, like that's not acceptable. But, you know, Dexies and prescription drugs are a huge part of this society. You know what I mean? Like all through uni and all through the drugs and all through the music scene and whatever, like these drugs are prevalent. So it's not a huge surprise. And like you said, like he didn't hide the fact, you know, you can't game for 83 hours. If you don't figure out that he's doing something that he probably shouldn't be doing to stay awake that long, like you might need to wake up a little bit.
I think the big thing is that it's kind of been called into the, I guess, the spotlight. And this is one of the first instances where someone who's like a Twitch streamer, for example, has been sort of like, maybe everyone was sort of blissfully ignorant and they didn't want to know.
The issue he brings up in that piece of audio is that everyone, it wasn't a secret.
Mm. Well, yeah. That's what he tries to say. Well, because he didn't want to kind of out himself, and he felt like, you know, the general audience would understand that he probably would, you know, he's doing something to supply these long streams, and he didn't want it. He didn't think I don't think he thinks he has a problem, to be honest. I think he just...
Yeah, because he seemed a little flippant about the entire thing.
I think it's because of the way it was done. Like, he was outed on Twitter in public. Like, it's kind of his personal business, even though he does kind of post on whatever. It could have been done a lot better. That's not how you do an intervention sort of thing. If you're trying to help him, they should have done it better. And that I can see... Like, you can hear the anger in his voice throughout the hours and whatever that he's talking about it. Because he's frustrated. Because, yes, he has a problem, but... So if you want to call him like a huge addict, then far out, like, you know, a lot of the general public has a problem as well.
Yeah. And it's, you don't get a way to deal with it with people who are supportive and who are looking after you. You have to deal with this on a public facing.
Yeah.
And there's a big, I mean, we see this sort of stuff happen with all sorts of different celebrities of different
kinds. But this is a little different because they have, instead of thousands of voices telling them to stop, he has thousands of voices telling him to keep going.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They are enabling his kind of habits.
And it's almost like dance for my amusement.
Yep.
They're also, they're asking him to do it and they're paying him to do it as well. So yeah.
To keep it going, and people get, you know, drop their subscriptions and things, and if it becomes a perpetuating sort of cycle.
But you know, it's a choice. He was choosing to do those drugs, and they weren't paying him to do drugs, you know. He doesn't have a sign up saying that, you know. They're unintentionally enabling him and continuing his problem.
These sort of drugs are also not like a big issue in some of the other professional gaming areas as well. There was the Electronic Sports League basically caught a team. The team's called Cloud9, and they're pretty famous. They do a bunch of different things, mm-hmm. like Heroes of the Storm, but this was in Counter-Strike Global Offensive. The guy was named Corey Semphis Friesen. He was a high-level professional Counter-Strike player. And yeah, he was caught using dexamphetamines during the tournaments. And from now on, they're going to be going and drug testing people to make sure that they are playing on an even playing field, that it is skill. And
that's fair. Like I said, when money and whatever is involved, you can't just be on drugs, like illegally drugs. I mean, I'm not saying that's an illegal drug, but in his hands, for non-applicational use, it is.
Especially in with the so much talk about making esports a legitimate sporting league, and to have, there's a lot of parallels between it and other professional sporting codes.
Yep.
And to have people, all of the sporting codes that happens here in Australia, it seems to happen on a pretty frequent basis. There's some sort of drug scandal happening with different players using performance enhancing drugs, and you know, they just want to try and get any edge that they possibly can.
Yeah.
And there's big money to go around, and as you said, you know, some of these tournaments give out hundreds of thousands of dollars for a prize, and say if you get to that $100,000 with, you know, and you've tested positive for a performance-enhancing drug, like, for example, dexamphetamines. You know, if an AFL football player had dexamphetamines in their system, they would pretty much be kicked out.
Yeah, well, it's also, I think, as a brand, like Blizzard and all that, they need to protect themselves, and they need to say, well, people that play our games can't be associated with this.
Yep.
And also, these guys, no matter how you look at it, are role models. They are the pinnacle of the gaming skill.
And there are kids these days who...
That want to be them.
Yeah, who want to be them, who actually don't look at Hollywood and TV as their celebrities. Yep. They look at people like
these
this
guys,
on YouTube
gamers,
and on Twitch, looking these gamers who are their
celebrities. Just the social media celebrities, I guess.
Yeah. And they use that sort of example. So it's a difficult topic. And I think, for example, we maybe need to think about how what we're asking of these people who are usually just normal people starting out and then get catapulted to this fame.
Absolutely.
Whether there should be a good framework in place for these people or how should we better support these people. And
before we go, Johnny, I'd just like to just mention, if you need help with drugs or alcohol, there's a 24-hour support line. It's, well, in Australia anyway, where this is broadcast from.
You can call Lifeline on 131114 and they are available 24 hours a day.
So if you need any help there, that is the number to call.
There's also Beyond Blue. There's plenty of places out there. Don't be afraid to kind of
get out there and talk to
if
people.
If you think you have a problem or you think, you know, someone that might have a problem, because there are right ways to do it. And I don't think this guy had a fair treat. And no, I think that's why he's kind of so raw about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty tough. But yeah, so if you need help, make sure you talk to people about it and have conversations about it. And if you need to just disconnect for a bit, just disconnect. Get off your streaming things. It might be hard to keep up with all this stuff, but if it's something that's causing a negative behavior in you and you're not happy with the way I do it, there are places out there that we can check out for that. We're going to put links up to those up on our website as well, so you can have a look at that. And that's all we've got time for today. That was another episode of Pixel Sift. This was our 12th episode. Now, if you haven't already picked up, we have got a brand new website. It is www.pixelsift.com.au. On there, you can find links to all of the videos and stuff that we talk about in each episode. You can also click on there to subscribe on iTunes. You can subscribe on Pocket Casts. You can use the RSS link to subscribe directly as well, if you'd like to do it. You can find links to our Twitch page if you want to watch us live or you want to watch the video stream, if you like looking at our lovely faces. You can do that as well. Also, there's the audio version if you don't want to look at our lovely faces. Where else can people find us online if they want to find us on social media?
Like you said, we can be found at facebook.com/pixelsift, twitter.com/pixelsift, and twitch.tv/pixelsift.
And Mitch, if people want to listen to our other episodes, where are they heading to?
Yeah, so our older episodes can be found on the brand new site, pixelsift.com.au, and subscribe to us on either iTunes or the RSS link on our page.
And when you're there, if you could give us a rating or review,
very
much appreciate it.
They'd be tops.
Thanks for listening in, guys. We'll be back again next week with another episode of Pixel Sift.
Happy holidays.
Have a good time. See you then.
If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.